I want to start by asking, who wakes up fast? Put up your hand. Like, who's up and at 'em? Who's a fast? Okay, you should all be at the 7:15 service. Hey, Tom, good to see you. You wake up early. Who wakes up slow? Who's a slow waker? I am the second kind. I am a slow waker. And I can wake up really fast, but I won't actually be processing properly for a couple hours. Even now, I'm not processing properly yet. So I do stupid things early in the day. So one day, I get up, I get dressed, and I go to the plaza. And as I'm getting out of the car, there's a bloke next to me putting shopping bags in the boot of his car, and he looks at me and he smiles. And I smile back, and I think he's a friendly kind of guy. Now I walk into the shops, and as I'm walking in, there's a girl and her mum, and they look at me and smile. And I smile back. I think it's a nice day, isn't it? Sun shining, everyone's smiling. As I walk around the shops, just every now and then, I'll notice someone kind of with a glint in their eye, a little bit of a smile at me. And I think, I'm a good-looking guy. Obviously, there's something, you know, what can I say? This is a good day, you know? But then it starts to get a bit weird. I notice that it doesn't normally happen. People are noticing me. And then in a store, an older lady, I walk in and she notices me and she laughs a bit. And I look at her and she looks away, clearly entertained. I look at myself, check it out. I've got my swag, I'm good. I keep walking around and it's happening everywhere, a little bit. I think there must be something wrong, but I have no idea what it is. And people keep smiling at me. And then finally, I see a mate. And the mate looks at me and he says just 5 words. Just comes up and he says, "You look like a clown." I'm like, "What?" He says 5 more words, 5 tough words from a friend. He says, "Your shirt is inside out." And then I realise, it's very, very obvious. It's the kind of shirt that you should never wear inside out. You know, some shirts you can get away with, but not this one with the pockets hanging out and everything looking really strange. And I'm surprised that people weren't running away from me, actually. But I thought about this and I wondered, why did no one say a word to me? Why did they look at me and not tell me the truth? Why? No, don't tell me. I might not want to know. I reflected on this and I thought, it takes a real friend to tell you the truth, doesn't it? Like, a real friend who has the right to say it, and a real friend who will actually tell you when there's that piece of parsley just between your 2 front teeth and you look like an absolute wally and everyone's just going, ooh, and they'll tell you in a nice way. Or when you've cut yourself shaving, and it's just bleeding down your neck, and everyone's just ignoring you, except for the person who says, "Oi." Do you know a good friend like that who will actually tell you? A really good friend will tell you when you're about to do something really stupid. A lesser friend will just let you stuff it, but a really good friend, they'll say, you know, or they'll tell you when you're talking like an idiot. I have a friend, a really good friend. One time I sat down with him and I was telling him all my problems and how my life sucked and it was so bad. And he said, "You know what your problem is?" "No, I don't know what my problem is." He said, "Today you are wearing your poo-coloured glasses." And I went, "Ah." He said, "Everything's going to look brown for you today." And that's been so helpful for me because this friend actually helped me to see that sometimes I'll just wake up with those brown glasses and everything will be brown. And it was brilliant words from a friend. So what I want to ask you, yeah, he said it in Australian, yes. Have you ever received tough words from a friend? Can you think of some tough words that a friend has told you? You can just reflect on it for a moment or tell someone. Tough words that a friend said that you really needed to hear. Can you think of anything? Tell someone nearby. I won't make you yell it out. They're embarrassing usually. Now, in our gospel reading today in Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 24, Jesus gives us tough words. He gives us five honest words from a friend. He has the right to say these words because he knows you. Not everyone has the right to just say things to you, do they? You know, someone who tries to tell you something and you just think, you don't have the right to say that. You have to earn the right to tell someone the truth by walking in their shoes. Jesus walked in your shoes, yeah? You have to earn the right to speak honestly to somebody by serving them, I think. Think about someone who you would receive advice from. It's someone who's earned the right. And in Matthew 10, we have Jesus. He's going to give us some very tough, honest words, and he's earned the right to do that by giving his life for us. And he's earned the right to do that by walking in our shoes. He's earned the right because he suffered for us. And in Matthew 10, Jesus says, do not fear, three times. Do not fear, do not fear. He says, it's going to be rough, but you need to know the truth. And this is the harsh truth about following me, he says. So I'm going to give you five bits that Jesus says, and each of them have only five words. And to go with them, the kids can draw five pictures. So I don't know what your first picture is. Kids, what is it? Draw a picture of someone who loves you. Right. So here they are. The first tough thing Jesus says is, you will get called Beelzebub. He says, you're going to get called Satan. People are going to label you and name you and revile you. He says, don't be surprised. Live with it. Specifically, he says, you're not above me. I want you to be like me. And if people called me Beelzebul, well, they're going to do that to you too. They're going to call you names. Now, I'm really into these sort of things. So this fancy word, Beelzebul, what an interesting word this is. What a strange name. Some of you think it's associated with all sorts of scary stuff. And it kind of is. Beelzebul, it starts off as the name of a Canaanite god, and it probably, no one knows exactly what it meant, probably meant something like Lord of the High Place. But the people of Israel generally didn't call this god that. They had a jokey name that they called Beelzebul. They changed it to Beelzebub. Some of you know what that means. Lord of the Flies is the most common translation. But Beelzebub more likely means, literally, Lord of the Poo. So the Israelites were actually naming this false god that people sacrificed humans to, and they were saying how bad it was by saying, that's literally the crap master. Lord of the Shite is what they were literally calling. That's what Beelzebub means. It's also a name sometimes given to Satan as well. So if you're going to call someone Beelzebub or Beelzebul, you're basically saying they're full of... Yeah. That's what you're saying. And that you're saying they're the poo lord. And Jesus says, they called me this. And they did. You can go and look it up. The Pharisees called Jesus this. And he says, if they call me that and you follow me, then they'll call you that. Which is certainly what's happened to me from time to time, but it might not just have been because I follow Jesus. So, honest and tough words from Jesus. You're going to get called names for following him. Don't be surprised. It's going to happen. Here's the thing, though. Make sure that when people label you or revile you or accuse you, it's for the right reason. Don't just go around thinking, well, they call me names, so I must be doing good. My faith must be great. Don't think that. That's not the way it works. But if you are going to be labelled, make sure it is because you lived a life that followed him in forgiveness and grace and was different. And people will call you names for that. The second piece of tough advice from Jesus, another five words for you, is, read it out loud. Everything comes out, shout it. Everything comes out, says Jesus. And this is supposed to be comfort for you. Jesus has just been telling his followers that they're going to be flogged, that is whipped, they're going to be arrested, they're going to be dragged before the leaders, they're going to be accused falsely, and they're going to be hurt for their faith. And he continues to say, so have no fear of them. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, You speak in the light. Everything will come out. Have you ever had someone falsely accuse you of something and you just want to hit them back? You want to rip into them? Well, Jesus says, here, be comforted. Everything will come out. Have you ever had somebody take something very precious, hurt you, hurt your relationships and your family, and you just want to get them back? And Jesus says, no, be comforted, because everything comes out. This is the comfort that he's offering. It's not a warning here. You don't have to attack people back, because you can just remind yourself that, you know what, there's no such thing as a secret, because in the end, everything comes out. Everything comes out into the light of day before God. That's a comfort to you. If they abuse you, it'll come out. If they hurt you, it'll come out. If they strike you, it'll come out. Remember that, so you don't have to hurt them back. But secondly, there's something else going on here, which is why I read you the book before. Jesus is actually saying that there is no place for concealment in the life of a disciple. Did you hear that? There is no place for concealment in the life of a disciple. You may not tell everyone everything. Do you tell everyone everything? No. But there is nothing so bad that you can tell no one. The life of a Christian is not a place of secrets. What you get told in the dark, says Jesus, speak in the light. I have this favourite story about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. What did he write? Sherlock Holmes. Arthur Conan Doyle, he told this story in a pub once, so we don't know if it's true because it's one of those pub stories, but he said that he had a good friend who was a very upright man, a very good man, very religious man, a pillar of the community. Everyone respected this man. He was a good friend of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And so Conan Doyle decided to play a joke on this friend. And he sent this really good man an anonymous telegram. And the telegram said, all is discovered, flee at once. But his practical joke backfired. Because you know what happened? The man was never seen again. He fled. He was gone. I wonder what that man had concealed. Jesus is actually telling us, live as if everything will come out. Because it will. You can't control the flow of information. That's God's domain. And so, live as if every one of your actions can be seen. This is a pretty harsh thing to say. A lot of us are pretty worried because we've done some pretty stupid things. And I know that people in the room have deep, dark, concealed things. And I want to say this to you. You may not tell everyone everything. You don't have to tell everyone your sins. But there is nothing so bad that you can tell no one. There is nothing so bad. Because you know what? We have a God of love and forgiveness. And that is why I practice with my friends the practice of confession and forgiveness. I can honestly say to you all that I'm a very imperfect person with lots of faults and failures. But there is no sin in my life that I am aware of that I haven't told someone. I'm not proud of my failings, but I don't let them remain my own secret. Because if they do, they can't be dealt with. If you think that confession and forgiveness, the stuff we do in Sunday, is just between you and God privately, well, it's got less power like that. When you bring it out in the light of day, God works with it. And it's amazing. So I encourage people over and over again, find a close, trusted person who you can share your sins with. And ask them in the name of Jesus to say to you, Jesus forgives you. It's a real thing. It's a power. But know this. Jesus says, you do know that everything comes out. Everything does. So live openly. Everything comes out so your abusers will not win. Everything comes out, and that's a comfort because God loves you anyway. That's his second set of five words. What was the first one? You will get called names. And the second one is, everything comes out, shout it. The third one, I like. Would you read this out with me? Remember death, but fear God. Jesus says some things that are very harsh here. And to modern Australians, they might sound strange. But imagine if you are a Syrian Christian or an Egyptian Christian and you hear these words, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. These are supposed to be words of comfort. They're for people who are facing death for their faith. That is the context. And Jesus actually says, he doesn't say you're not going to die. He actually mentions death many times in this sermon of his. He says, remember it. But you don't have to fear it. He says, keep it before your eyes. Saint Benedict, if you want to know all about Saint Benedict, you have to talk to Doug. Because Doug is a Benedictine oblate, a follower of this saint. Christians from many different churches in the Benedictine movement. And Saint Benedict says, keep death daily before one's eyes. Remember your mortality. So when you're worried about money, and you're worried about how you're going to pay for this, and how you're going to finance that, and what you're going to do with this, when you're worried about money, here's a trick. Think about death. You worry about money a lot less. Promise you. Think about how you're mortal, that you're not here forever and you can't take it with you. It's terribly small compared to that. It works. Trust me, I do it. When you're worried about your reputation and someone said a whole heap of rubbish about you and they've assassinated your character, think about your death. It'll surely make the other things seem a bit smaller, won't they? And when you think about your death, realise that your reputation's not worth so much because God knows who you are. When you're worried about your future, what you're going to do and how you're going to get there and whether you'll have a job or not, think about death for a moment. It'll make it feel small. But the reason that we would think about death is not just to make everything else feel small, but to remind ourselves that some of our problems are not so big. And to remind ourselves that at the end of our life, there is this comma, and God has us. And so Jesus actually says, hey, don't fear death so much. Fear God. Remember death, sure. But fear God. This is a really strong word, fear, isn't it? Can I just ask you, put up your hand if you like the idea of the words, fear God. Eh? It's a strange concept, isn't it? Because our relationship with God is a dual relationship. It involves God's law, do this, do that, and God's grace, God's love. It involves fear and love. Martin Luther says, read this with me, it's good. Fear, love, and trust God above all else. You know, a person who sees a raging bushfire approaching and isn't afraid is an idiot. A person who sees a Category 5 cyclone at 260 kilometres an hour ripping the roofs off buildings and doesn't feel some fear is a fool. Fear has some useful uses too. Fear is what we feel in the face of something so awe-inspiring. That is why in the Narnia books, people experience some fear before Jesus, the lion Aslan. God is not containable or controllable. And to face that kind of awe and power involves a sort of fear. Remember death, sure, but don't be afraid of that. There's something far greater, something more powerful. And when you stand on top of a mountain and you see the awesomeness of all creation and you experience the wonder of it all, that's a tinge of that fear or awe of God. And Jesus is saying, hey, stop fearing all these other little things, including death. It's a little thing. Think about God. Okay, there's your third tough word. The fourth one is a bit nicer, it is this. Say it out loud. Watch sparrows see God's love. I love this. I love this bit. When you are afraid or anxious or worried, Jesus says, watch some sparrows. So some people, you know, they talk about mindfulness, and that's good. I'm not attacking mindfulness, but Jesus here proposes birdfulness. This is a form of prayer or meditation that I think we could practice. Maybe we can promote this. Maybe we can start the birdfulness movement, where when you're worried, you go and you watch the sparrows. I do that from time to time. I love watching swallows. You can see swallows on the Emmanuel. Do it after church. Go down to one of the Emmanuel College ovals, and if you're lucky, you'll see a flock of swallows swooping and diving. And I just love watching them, don't you? Well, you should, Jesus said. Huh. So Jesus actually says, when you're afraid for your life and when you're worried, go and watch the little birds. And when you do, when you watch those little birds, reflect on this. God has every single one of them. God knows every single one of them. God holds every single one of them. Reflect on that for a moment. And look what Jesus says. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. But look what Jesus says about the sparrows, because I think this is very often missed. What is he saying about the sparrows and God and God's love? Translators of the Bible have had trouble with this verse because they always seem to think they need to add some words to try and make it clearer for you. Look at it. What does it say? Look at the sparrows. Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. First of all, Jesus is not saying you'll never fall. The sparrows fall, you will fall. Yeah? That's a part of life. But he says not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. So the translators have trouble, and like some of the modern translations, they add a word. So they say like, oh, that doesn't make sense. We'll say, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's will. That is not what it says. Others say, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's knowledge. That's not what it says. It says something far bigger, far more amazing, far more crazy than that. Can you see what it says? Apart from can also be translated without. It just says here that these birds live. They never live without God. Not one moment. They never live without God. Never apart from the Father. That's a radical statement to make, isn't it? They never fall. They never die without God. Apart from the Father. God is with them. God is in them. God is above them. God is around them. They're never apart from God. And if that doesn't blow your mind, go and watch the birds and think about it a bit more. Because if they're never apart from the Father, that's a pretty big claim. I wonder if they'll go to heaven. I don't know. But he's saying these birds are with God and God is with them. Look at that. How could God not be with you? And then if that's not good enough for you and you're feeling OCD, go and count your hairs. It's easier for some of us than others, Steve. Go and count your hairs and see that God knows all of them. God loves all of them. God numbers all of them. Just to be clear, Jesus is saying, go and look at the intricacy of creation and the smallness of the bird and see God's love. He's got it all and he's got you. Right, the fifth piece of advice is this. Read it out loud with me to wake up. Acknowledge Jesus, he acknowledges you. Jesus says, everyone who acknowledges me, I will acknowledge before my Father. Whoever denies me, I will deny before my Father. This sounds like a harsh ending, doesn't it? And he's going to deal with some even more harsh things after this. But this is actually a word of comfort and grace. Notice the start the very first word. What is the very first word here? So. Sometimes translated, therefore. What happens when you're talking, blah, 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 and then you say, so. What's happening now? Some sort of conclusion. This is where I was headed, right? This is a conclusion. This is where Jesus was headed. He was giving a word of comfort to people who are facing trouble and who do acknowledge him. And he's saying, listen, I got you. You acknowledge me and I will defend you before God. He says, clearly, you may not do well. Your faith may not be perfect. You may not always be strong. You may face trial and torture and torment. And you may question everything. You may question yourself. But if you acknowledge me just even one little bit, if you say just a little tiny bit with the weakness of your heart, Jesus, then he's got you. Done. That's the comfort. And he's saying it to people who are struggling. He says, if you acknowledge me, if you just say, Jesus, I'm yours, he's got you. Full stop. End. So, I wonder what honest words you've received from a friend. These are some honest words from Jesus. There's five of them. They're up on the screen. And as we prepare to sing and have an offering and move to the next part of our service, would you just pick one and tell someone which one you picked?